So, Deuteronomy, you know, we're getting close to the end of Deuteronomy, obviously. And it's been this whole retelling of the mitzvot and commandments that Adonai has given Moses and the people of Israel. And honestly, I know that when I'm told what to do and how to do things, occasionally my spirit rises up. And occasionally I become a little rebellious. It's hard being told what to do sometimes, isn't it? Especially when you think you know what you're doing. You don't have to tell me that. I know how to do that. I know how to bless you, Lord. You don't need to tell me how. So, looking back, I can say, yeah, there are times I've been rebellious, but I know I'm not the only one, right? Yeah. So, at the start of this portion, what we have is a brief history lesson. It tells us where we've been. It tells us of our hardships in Egypt. It tells us how he brought us out with his mighty hand and miracles. And then it commands us to rejoice and to be grateful. We're told to have some gratitude for all that the Lord has done for us. Told. Lord, I know how. You don't have to tell me. I'm grateful. But we're told. But that's the word. So let's go into the word. I've got a couple of fairly long passages that I'm going to be reading today. And this is the first one. Deuteronomy 26, 5 through 11. Then you are to respond before Adonai your God. My father was a wandering Armenian, and he went down to Egypt and lived there as an outsider, few in number. But there he became a great nation, mighty and numerous. The Egyptians treated us badly, afflicted us, and imposed hard labor on us. Then we cried out to Adonai, God of our fathers, and Adonai listened to our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. Then Adonai brought us out from Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now look, I have brought the first of the fruits of the soil that you have given me, Adonai. Then you are to set it down before Adonai your God and worship before Adonai your God. You will rejoice in all the good that Adonai your God has given to you and to your house, the Levite, the outsider in your midst. To you, the Levite, and the outsider in your midst. So this was the instruction of what to do, not right then, but when you get into the land, here's the instructions on what to do. Remember what you've gone through. Bring the offering and be grateful. Because it says to rejoice, and rejoicing is an act of gratitude. Rejoice for the good times that you've been through, such as the prosperous times in Egypt, when you multiplied and you grew in number. And later, when you came out of Egypt and out of slavery, rejoice in those times. But you should also rejoice and have gratitude for the times that weren't so easy. The growing times that you've had to go through. Times such as the slavery in Egypt. Even the harsh treatment were to rejoice because they helped to form us who we are. I'm being distracted by this microphone. I'm going to turn it off. Go to the handheld. I'm sorry, everybody. I got to work on that popping. Okay. So even in the harsh treatment, we're to rejoice. And it's not easy, is it? When you're in the middle of a harsh treatment, even after the harsh treatment has ended, you don't say, thank you for putting me through all that. You may say, thank you, Lord, that I'm out of it now. But thank you, Lord, for what you're teaching me and what you've taught me going through it. So there's still a point of gratitude. As you're going through it, the Lord is changing and improving you. He's actually teaching you something, if for no other reason, so that you can help someone else who's going to go through it as well. The best way to help someone through adversity is when you've already gone through it, and you can reach back and help that person through adversity. So let's take a look at Deuteronomy 26, 14, and 15. I have not eaten from the tithe in my mourning, or removed any of it while unclean, or given any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the voice of Adonai my God. I have done all just as you commanded me. Look down from your holy dwelling place, from the heavens, and bless your people Israel and the soil you have given us, as you swore to your fathers, the land flowing with milk and honey. Adonai made a promise to bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey. The problem was, did they believe the promise? Did they even recognize the promise? Because what's the land flowing with milk and honey? For different people, that might look like different things. The land flowing with milk and honey, I'll say it this way. The land flowing with milk and honey is anywhere that you can have gratitude. So where do you have gratitude? Well, I've already said, in the good times and the bad times. So the land flowing with milk and honey is anywhere the Lord puts you at that time. Some of it will seem sweeter than others, no doubt. But if you find yourself in that position, any position, that's the land the Lord's putting you in, at least for this season. That's your land. And if you have the right attitude, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, the term milk and honey is used 3 times just in this portion, 15 times in the Torah. So it's not as if he just a one-off promise. It's a repetitive promise. Now, we're going to look at an example of someone who's invoked the words milk and honey and see what they thought about it. Because when Korah rebelled against Moses and the Lord, he used the words milk and honey. So let's take a look at Numbers 16, 12 through 14. Then Moses sent word to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, but they said, we will not come. Isn't it enough that you brought us out from a land flowing with milk and honey, only to kill us in the wilderness? And now you would lord it over us. What's more, you haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Would you now gouge out the eyes of those men? We won't come. They used the words milk and honey twice, trying to recognize where they were and where they are. first. They called Egypt the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, at one time, it was for them. When Joseph first came down there, and then he brought his father down, it was a great land. They multiplied. They had flocks. They were honored in the land. And then, for these people, it was a tough time. It was slavery. It was whips to their back. It was not necessarily what many people would consider milk and honey. It didn't necessarily flow. But then they looked at where they were, and they said, Moses, you said you were bringing us out into a land of milk and honey. Look around us. Does this look like milk and honey to you? And in ways, they were right. They were grumbling about where they were. Didn't have an attitude of gratitude. They were grumbling about where they were. And yeah, it was not necessarily the land of milk and honey that they envisioned. It was a place that the Lord was teaching them, so they were supposed to get something out of it, but it wasn't the prosperity land that they were expecting it to be. It was supposed to be a transitional land for them, a land for them to make changes in and then go into the land of prosperity. Now we look at our situation and we need to look with gratitude and know where we are. Do we recognize that either we're in one of two places, either we're not there yet, God's still working on us in our situation, or perhaps we are in it and we just don't recognize it as a land flowing with milk and honey. We just don't recognize the good that's around us. We don't recognize the lessons and the comfort the Lord has for us in the land we're currently in, the situations that we're currently in. God said you'd have a body that was no longer sick. Do you look and you go, but Lord, what happened? Look at my gut. It hurts all the time. I got migraines. This is not a body that's healed. But are you just in that transitional time that you're going to if you have the gratitude? Driving through a storm is not pleasant, but if you know where you're going and the family times, the fun times that you're going to have when you get there, that transitional period of where you were to where you're going doesn't necessarily have to be the worst place you've ever been in if you're going with gratitude about what He has in store for you. That's what life is like. Sometimes we're driving through the storm, but do you have a picture of where the Lord is taking you to? Whether it be on this side of heaven, or maybe it's going to be heaven itself. Maybe your milk and honey will be here because you have a gratitude, an attitude of gratitude about what you're going through, but that real prosperous, comfort, loving time, I pray it happens before, but you know it's going to happen on the other side. That's a promise. It's not a promise from me. It's a promise from Him. And He keeps His promises. I can't say that we're in the land of Egypt But I'm not sure that all of us are in the land of the milk and honey yet either. For different people, it's going to be different times. I can say that if we follow the commands of the Lord, then I fully believe that we will complete our journey through this transitional land into heaven. And that, without a doubt, is a land of milk and honey. Does that mean everything we go through here has got to be a trial and tribulation? No. Adonai desires to protect us and provide for us. But it also doesn't mean we just skate by on everything. That everything's going to be simple and everything's going to be easy. But the Lord will ease our travel times through this transitional period. And the first thing of that easing comes from us and having that attitude of gratitude. We just can't grumble through life. That's not what we were put here for. You have to start praising God and doing for what He's doing now. Because you can't believe. And if this is your belief, then let me try to push you off of it now. You can't believe that you can grumble about God here and expect to all of a sudden switch your attitude when you get to heaven before Him. The attitude that you're going to be showing here is probably going to be the attitude that you're showing there. And if you don't have that attitude of gratitude, you're not getting before His presence for very long. He's going to judge, and you're going elsewhere. I've lost my place. What's my next slide? Thank you. We need to have the attitude now. Deuteronomy 26:16-19. This day, Adonai your God is commanding you to do these statutes and ordinances so that you are to take care and do them with all your heart, with all your soul. Today, you have affirmed Adonai as your God that you will walk in His ways, keep His statutes, mitzvot, and ordinances, and listen to His voice. Now today, Adonai has affirmed to you, has affirmed you as His treasured people, as His promised people, that you are to keep all His mitzvot, that He will set you high above all the nations He has made for praise, fame, and honor, that you are to be a holy people to Adonai your God, as He promised. We need to be called His people on this side if we're going to be called His people on that side of heaven. There are times, trials and tribulations, that we have to go through them, but they're intended to grow you as a people, as a person, and grow us as a nation. It's not, as I said earlier, it's not always easy to have the gratitude as you're going through something. There are some truly horrific things Israel as a nation had to go through to get to where we are today. A nation that I believe is becoming more messianic and is more and more believing in the Messiah that will bring them before His presence permanently. But in order to get there, look what Israel had to go through. Just this most recent, really hard time, the Holocaust. But out of the Holocaust, Israel was born. It was a necessary thing for Scripture to be fulfilled, that there would be another Israel in the land. It's not enough that, you know, for how many years did our Jewish brethren believe that yeah, there'll probably be another Israel land, but I think he really means spiritually where his land. No, he meant there was going to be a physical land. And he had to reestablish it, and he did. It was a painful process. But we come through on the other side, and we have to have gratitude for it. Not for what was done to us, but what was done for us as we went through it. Following the commandments that he's directed will bring about the good that he planned. Following his commandments is nothing short of an act of gratitude and love, showing love towards him. That's what following commandments are. It's the gratitude towards him and the love towards him. That's why we follow his commandments. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? It seems like a simple statement. Keeping his commandments says you love him. If you love me, Yeshua says, you will keep my commandments. It's an easy equation. Following commandments equals love. He has to make it simple for people like myself to be able to follow it. And he has. It's a very simple thing. So, and then that following his commandments is a sign of gratitude. It's, you know, when you think, why am I doing these things? Why do I have to do these commandments? Because you love him. That's why. Don't worry about whatever everything else is. Because you love him. Boil it down to the most simple, basic thing. Because I love him, I follow his commands. That's why. So let's take a few look at a few more scriptures about gratitude. And we're going to start in Psalm 100, 1 through 5. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to Adonai, all the earth. Serve Adonai with gladness. Come before his presence with joyful singing. Know that Adonai, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise him. Bless his name. For Adonai is good. His loving kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Take a note here. Does it say when we come before him? Well, let me put it. It says that when we come before him, we are to do it with gladness. It doesn't say wait until you get before him and then become glad. That being in his presence is what makes you glad. It's like a commandment to your soul. Oh, my soul, why are you down? Rejoice in the Lord. Be joyful, because that is what will bring you into the presence of the Lord. Don't think, I'm feeling miserable here. I'm just going to wait until I'm in his presence. And then all of a sudden, everything's going to change and I'll be happy. And then I'll be glad. Then I'll be able to rejoice. No, it's a commandment of your soul to rejoice. So, even when you feel down, it's a decision that you make. It has to come first. If we wait to get before the Lord, if we wait to make ourselves glad before we get to the Lord, if we wait, we say, well, I'll be glad when I'm in front of him. You're never going to get in front of him. You have to be glad. The word says to do this before you're there, and then you get there. Even when we're not feeling it, it depends on our attitude. We depend on his loving kindness, which should give us the attitude for gratitude. Psalm 107, 1 and 2. Praise Adonai, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Let the redeemed of Adonai say so, whom he redeemed from the hand of the foe. He took you out from the foe and redeemed you. Why, if that was the only thing, wouldn't that be enough to make you have an attitude of joy and thanksgiving? In your darkest times, remember what he's already done. And you know what? I'm going to say it this way. In those darker times, it's hard to remember these things. That's why you have fellowship with other believers. That's why you come to synagogue. That's why you keep in contact with others, so that when you're feeling down, they can help pick you back up. That's why. We're told that his redemption, he redeems us from the foe. Regardless of what's happened, he says it from the hand of the foe. If we were in the hand of the foe, that means nothing really good was probably happening at that time. But he redeemed us from there. So we have to have that attitude of our future hope. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. In his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead. He's the one who restores us. He's the one who resurrects us from the dead. And what is that living hope he's talking about? An incorruptible, undefiled, an unfading inheritance that has been reserved for you in heaven. That's our hope. Our hope is what's waiting for us in heaven. By trusting, you are being protected by God's power for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That's a tricky sentence right there. By trusting, you are being protected by God's power for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. But wait, don't I have salvation already? You have the promise for salvation, but where's your salvation? It says it's stored up in heaven and protected for you. You rejoice in this greatly, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. These trials are so that the true metal of your faith, far more valuable than gold, which perishes through refined by fire, may come to light in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Messiah Yeshua. There is a reason for trials. There are reasons for tribulation. They bring forth who we are. They bring forth our praise. They should bring forth our joy of who he is. It allows us to recognize a real difference between the world and him. Because let's face it, if we didn't go through trials, would the world look so bad? Not really. So then if the world doesn't look so bad, what do I need him for? Trials are to remind us who he is and his goodness. That's why we rejoice in the trials, because they remind us of who he is. And the reasons to bless and praise Adonai are many and are spelled out in Psalm 103, starting in verse 2. Bless Adonai, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So it's already, the psalmist is telling us, remember, don't forget, there are great benefits to Adonai. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassions. He satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Adonai executes justice, judgment for all who are oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the children of Israel. Adonai is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, plentiful in mercy. 12 reasons to bless Adonai right there. Even if you're going through hard times, 12 reasons to bless him. Even if you're not going right, things going well with you, 12 reasons to rejoice right there. And it's not just, here's the thing. It's not just when we're doing really well in the Lord. Because even if you're in one of those periods where you're kind of slipping a little bit, you can still repent and then rejoice with the Lord and come before him with joy and gladness. Look what 1 Samuel 12:20 says. Samuel said to the people, "Fear not. Indeed, you have done all this evil. Yet do not turn aside from following Adonai, but worship Adonai with all your heart. Do not turn aside to go after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are futile. For Adonai will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased Adonai to make you a people to himself." Samuel says, you guys are sinners, but that's okay. The Lord still loves you. It's true then, it's true now. That even when you find yourself in sin, you are still one of his people. Now, it doesn't mean that he loves the sin, but he certainly loves the sinner. Adonai saves for his sake, and he will not forsake us. Samuel never said that he loved the sin, that Adonai loved the sin, but he certainly did say he loves the sinner. And it's true today. And Rav Shaul in the New Covenant, Paul says the same thing to us in 1 Thessalonians 5:15 to 18. He says, "See that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua." Rejoice always. What's always mean? Always. It doesn't matter if you're in a good place or a bad place. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. What's constantly? Always. Whether you're in good or bad, pray for to him. In everything, give thanks. What is everything? Everything. It doesn't matter what you're in. That's the time to give thanks, because for this is God's will for you. That's what it says. Regardless of the position you're in the position of God's will. Regardless of how you feel, God's will for you is to praise him, to give thanks, to have that attitude of gratitude. So regardless of what we're going through, have that attitude of gratitude. Now, according to an article in the Harvard Mental Health Letter, that's the name, Harvard Mental Health Letter, here's what it says, quote, Gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. If the world can know the benefits of gratitude, how can we not? Regardless of what we're going through, it'll bring us closer to the Lord. Look what Job says in 42, Job 42. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent on dust and ashes. Lord, when I was going through the good stuff, I knew you because I heard about you. But going through all that I went through, now it's brought me closer to you. Now I see you. Now I hear you. The things that Job went through changed him, brought him closer to the Lord. And even Job recognized the difference in himself. Before, it was just a hearing with his ears. Now, it's this experiential thing that he went through that has totally changed him. And think how tough that must be for Job, because he was pretty, thankful before. He was offering up offerings and every day going to the Lord. But Job says, this experience changed me so that I'm closer to you. How much more will our times of adversity move us closer to the Lord? So we rejoice in all things. James tells us this in James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, for you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Again, there's a reason for the trials. We may not always see the reason, other than the fact that it should be bringing us closer. Maybe it's making a change in us. You know, when the pot is on the wheel and the potter is pushing his thumb in to reshape that pot, I bet it doesn't always feel good to the pot. I mean, think about your body being reshaped. Someone pressing in, it can leave a bruise. But through that bruise, something beautiful is being formed. James tells us being tested is a way of being made complete and advancing in the Lord. It's a sharpening. It's a refining. A quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson says, cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you and to give thanks continuously. And because all things have contributed to your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude. Even he knows all things contribute to your advancement. It may feel like you've been knocked backwards a couple of steps, but they contribute to your growth. They contribute to your advancement. So we are thankful in all things. My final scripture verse is from Rav Shaul, Romans 20, 1 through 20. What do we got? Romans 1, 20 through 22. His invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen ever since the creation of the world, which understood through the things that have been made. So people are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give him thanks. Instead, their thinking became futile and their senseless heart were made dark. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Scholl tells us they became fools. Even though they knew God, they became fools because they didn't glorify Him and give Him thanks. They didn't have a gratitude. They didn't have that attitude of gratitude. So they weren't able to advance. Not only were they not able to advance, they were falling backwards. Not only were they falling backwards, they were becoming fools. People who knew God at one time were becoming those who no longer knew Him. A fool. Ungodly. We are to have gratitude for all things. It's a decision we make. It's not a feeling that we have. In reality, it's a decision. We decide to be grateful. We decide to thank and praise the Lord. We don't wait until we feel it. We need to decide, and by experience, I can tell you that if you make the decision and you act on your decision, the feelings will come afterwards. I don't know about you, but I've walked into meetings where I was feeling down and I sang a praise and worship song, clapped my hands. Maybe it didn't feel like it, but by the end, I felt like it. I was uplifted. I was changed by my attitude of gratitude. It will happen. It's what the Word says, so we do not doubt it. Let's go into a time of prayer. Father, I just thank You that You are an amazing God, a wonderful God, that You work in our lives, that when we come before You with gratitude, Your goodness and Your blessings overtake us, regardless of what we're going through. Thank You that we're able to bring all things to You, even in the toughest of times. And during these tough times, You strengthen us so that we can accomplish Your purposes. Thank You for Your great love. Thank You for Your mercy, Your grace. Thank You that You are always with us and never leave us. That by Your great sacrifice on the stake, that we have eternal freedom and life. So forgive us for those times that we don't show our gratitude to You sufficiently. And Ruach HaKodesh, work on us from inside to well up our gratitude and our thanksgiving, whether we feel like it or not. Give us fresh eyes that we may see the situation that we are in as a place of advancement and change, so that we may change to be more of what You want us to be. Ruach, for those times that we're not feeling the gratitude, we give You permission to come and whack us on the side of the head, because something's got to wake us up. So wake us up, Ruach HaKodesh, although I ask that You do it gently. Wake us up so that we'll feel the gratitude. Wake us up so we recognize the situation that we're in. Wake us up so that we can see the lesson of this place that we're in. And if nothing else, remind us of Your promise. Your promise is that when we join back with You, when we come before Your throne, that we may lift our voices up to You with that perfect body again. feeling no pain, nothing wrong. We will have gratitude then, but help us to have gratitude now, Ruach HaKodesh. Change us now. For those of us who have been a little lacking in our gratitude, change us. For those who are finding it hard for joy to well up into us in the situation we're in, change us. For those who are placed in a situation that is meant to teach us, change us. We will sit on the potter's wheel as long as it takes to be formed into that creation you have in store for us. Because we know it's for a noble purpose. So we thank you for the times that you have to recreate us. We thank you for the times that we have to go through the adversity. We pray that we learn the things we need to go through that adversity, that we can reach back and help others who are going through it. We thank you that you always have a plan that's perfect. We just ask, Ruach HaKodesh, that you help us to get through these times so that we may lift your name up, praising and glorifying you through everything that we go through. We proclaim your name to be above every other name, the name Yeshua, the one who creates, recreates, and loves us. We praise you and honor you. We glorify you in everything that we go through. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your mercy and grace. Amen.